the book of Matthew, chapter number 15. Matthew, chapter number 15. And I'm going to be reading from verse number 21. Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. I'm going to be reading from verse number 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. If you're a guest of ours today, we're so glad that you're here. This is going to be the fourth installment on a series we started 4 weeks ago. We titled it Unapologetic. Unapologetic. And we have been tracking around and looking at the words that Jesus said that we, some of us, will wish he never said, but which he will say again. There are statements made by Jesus that we wish Jesus never made, but which I believe so strongly that he will make again. The first week we look at Jesus calling his beloved disciple, Peter, Satan. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." And we analyzed why Jesus would make that statement. The following week, we talk about the Lord asking the people, "Why are you coming to me? I know the reason why you're coming to me. You're not coming for to seek me as the Lord. You're coming to seek me as the loaves." And last week, we look at why Jesus will be seen to have applauded a dishonest master. Today, we're going to be looking at something different. And this is going to be the last part of this particular series. And I would like you to pay particular attention because, for some reasons, the Lord always reserves the best for the last. I'll be teaching this morning by the grace of God on what I've titled, The Gate Crusher. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this morning, we often say this word is not mine, it's not ours, and that's the truth. This word came from you. If you don't open it up unto us, we will have no clue at all. Spirit of the Lord, I ask that you will breathe upon your word this morning. Let it come alive unto us. Let it find its application to our situation and our circumstances. Lord, I ask that you anoint the ears and the heart of your people in such a way that they will receive this word with the same accuracy with which it is going to be delivered. I ask that you anoint my tongue and you make it like the pen of a ready writer. Let your word flow out of me this morning like streams of living water, in accuracy and in power, in simplicity, in the love and in the comfort of the Spirit of the living God. Think through my mind this morning, Lord, and speak through my mouth, so that all of us together will have been tremendously blessed by your word. This you will do because we have asked in Jesus' mighty name. And the church says, amen. The gate crusher. I don't know where you grew up, but I was just reflecting yesterday on my childhood. I grew up in the city, and in the city where I grew up, it was there was an unofficial declaration, as it were, that Saturdays something must happen. There is always a gathering, a ceremony, a kind of a festivity. Something will actually have to take place every Saturday. And this is Saturday after Saturday. It's either there is a wedding, or there is a birthday, or there is a funeral. Something always happens on Saturdays. We've come, at that time, we had come to accept it as part of our life. So we'll go to school Monday through Friday. Saturday, we know that our parents were not going to be at home because they would go to attend a particular function. And as we grew up, we began to also started attending functions on Saturdays as well. So it was almost like, you know, from one generation to the other. But there was something that was particularly peculiar to the functions that was taking place in the community where I grew up. In this community where I grew up, it's such close-knit, everyone, there is a family, extended family, folks, somebody knows somebody. So if your son is not getting married today, it's the uncle, the brother of a son, of a sister to my uncle's auntie that is getting, you know, that is having a birthday and all those. So somebody must be doing something in the family somehow, and you will need to show up. One thing that you will not need was an invitation. You don't need an invitation card. You just show up, you know. So you prepare. If you were going to do anything, you prepare for every of your network, because even the people that have not been invited will come. You know, so as we began to grow up and began to know that there is need for planning and all those things, and then people started making cards for weddings and stuff like that. But those things never work, because you send out 10 and you're going to receive 100. It's almost like 100-fold return, people, you know, showing up at your doorstep. And as a matter of fact, if you don't, and you have to take care of everyone, you know. It was only when I was a young adult that I got to know about what is called gate crashing. Because it never occurred to me that there was anything gate crashing. You're doing something, or I'm just passing by, I heard about it, I just come around. That was the community where I grew up. Now, you don't do that in Australia, okay? If you're not invited. In fact, you have to invite your wife to your birthday in your house for her to show up, you know. No, just kidding, you know. But you get what I mean. Now, the story we're reading this morning happened to be the story of a woman who gate crashed. Now, this woman was never invited. And if we're going to go through that quickly, you're going to discover that this woman was actually not part of the Commonwealth of Israel. He had no covenant in Israel whatsoever. Now, Jesus made a particular statement to this woman, and that's actually the crux of the matter. That's why we're having this teaching this morning. And that statement was actually, you'll find that statement in verse number 26 in the passage we have just read, Matthew 15:26. But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs." Wow. Who said that? That was Jesus. "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs." Now, this woman was a distressed woman. This woman had a problem. This woman had a problem. Her daughter was demon-possessed. And all she was asking for was for Jesus to do something to help her daughter. And then this statement flew out of Jesus' mouth. "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs." Did Jesus actually say that? I found that initially very confronting. That was a bit sharp and abrasive, in my opinion, quite very abrasive comment made by the Lord Jesus Christ. But in my opinion, I felt Jesus should have been a bit more, you know, caring, merciful, and all those. But that was not the situation. Did he actually call this woman little dogs? And that was, you know, can you imagine somebody coming to our church and we're serving food over there and we say, "Oh, no, you go to the back because we are actually taking care of our children first, not dogs." You know, that man would never return here again. You know, that was exactly the experience that Jesus, this woman had, a poor woman requesting for mercy for her daughter who was demon-possessed. But in a short while, you understand the reason why Jesus made this statement. It has nothing to do with what you're thinking at all. And that's why I believe Jesus will have made the same statement again today if we were to be faced with a similar situation. So let's roll it right from the outset. So what happened? Now, Jesus had been ministering in the particular region, and then he moved from where he was. He moved outside of Israel into a place called Tyre and Sidon. Now, Tyre and Sidon actually belongs to a region called Phoenicia. Phoenicia was a region that was inhabited by Gentiles. By the way, Gentiles means people that don't belong to the nation of Israel. Okay, so they were not people that had anything to do with Israel. So it was a region outside of the geographical location of Israel, in the land of Palestine in those days. Now, so Jesus and his disciples actually went away from the midst of the crowd, and Jesus has actually just had some kind of, argument with the Pharisees, and they were talking about the defilement, what defiles people. Your disciples are healing, they are eating with their defiled hand, and Jesus was saying, no, it's not the hand that is defiled that is important, it's what comes out of people, you know, from their heart. Anyway, he was in this place called Tyre and Sidon, and then this woman came. Now, this woman was never invited. Now, the account that we read is the account of Matthew, but the same account was actually written by the man by the name Mark, in Mark chapter number 7. So some of the things I'm going to be saying, you may not find them in Matthew, you may find them in Mark. It's the same account, but written by from different perspective by different people. So this woman, the Bible says he came into the house and he entered. In Mark chapter number 7, verse 24, the Bible says, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. That's talking about Jesus. Mark chapter number 7, verse 24, talking about the same account. So Jesus came into this place. Jesus just wanted to be alone. It was said that maybe Jesus just wanted to have some rest with the disciples. But I believe very strongly that Jesus was actually going to be ministering to his disciples and he would take them out. He was always doing that. He would take his disciples out of the way and just take them to a secluded place and minister to them. And he had a perfect strategy to make sure that the message of the gospel is passed from the generation that he was ministering to the next one. And that was not going to be done by the crowd. The 4,000, the 5,000 that he fed will never take the gospel to the next generation. They won't even take it to the next town. So Jesus always made sure that he pumped a lot of the message into his disciples. He would show them, he would give parable in the public. He would come to the secluded place and then he will explain to them and narrate to them the reason why he actually made those comments. And so I believe that was one of the situation in this particular, that was what happened in this particular situation. So this woman came into where Jesus was. The Bible calls him the woman, a Syrophoenician woman. He was a Greek. And then she was kept asking him to cast out the demons from her daughter. Initially, the Bible says Jesus did not answer a word. That's actually very insulting. I mean, this woman was talking to Jesus and Jesus made no comment, you know, no comment whatsoever. And it wasn't that this woman was not talking loudly enough. As a matter of fact, the disciples were distressed about it. And they said, Jesus, you need to do something about this woman. She will not allow us to rest. Do something, Lord, about this situation. Initially, like I said, Jesus did not answer her a word. But when Jesus was going to speak, and he said something in verse number 24, Matthew chapter number 15, verse 24. The Bible says, but he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I wasn't sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Apparently, he was referring to his ministry. And he had actually told his disciples in earlier chapters, Matthew chapter number 10, when he was sending out his 12 two by two, the Bible says he sent them and he told them, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He had already given them that instruction. And again, Jesus was just repeating the same to his disciples. He was asking me to do something about the situation of this woman. But don't forget, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, this was a woman that was distressed. The Bible says he calls him Lord. Have mercy on me. For her to have said that, this woman must have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe she was part of the crowd. In Mark chapter number 3, the Bible talks about Jesus ministering, his fame going abroad, and people getting to know in the neighboring towns about Jesus. And people actually came to him as far as from Sidon and Tyre, which is where this woman was from. So this woman might have been part of the crowd in Mark chapter number 3. And so he knew Jesus as Lord. In fact, he knew Jesus as the Son of David. So that's not talking about a novice in terms of following Jesus. She must have known Jesus to some extent, and she must have known the messianic grace upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fact that this person is different from all the other prophets that had come before now. But her call was ignored. And when she persisted, she cried. The Bible says she worshipped Jesus, and then she requested, before Jesus was going to make the statement in Mark chapter in verse 26, Jesus says, "I was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, and then the Bible says, then she came and worshipped him in verse number 25. "Lord, help me, help me." Now, help me. And Jesus will now make this statement. "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs." It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. Now, even today, some of us still find that statement very offensive. But hear me out. Jesus was not insulting this woman. He said, "How? Good." Jesus was only making a clarification of the statement that he had made to the disciples in verse 24 in a language that this woman will understand. Now, he had initially spoken to the disciples in verse 24, "My ministry at this point in time, and I've been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus obviously came to save the entire world. He came to save you and I. But the boundary of his earthly ministry was supposed to be focused on the nation of Israel. You remember what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 1? It says this in verse 16. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto those who believe, to the Jews first, and then to the Greek or the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Don't forget, it says to the Jews first and then to the Greek or to the Gentile. The purpose of God right from the foundation of the world when he was going to send Jesus was that he was going to send Jesus to the physical Israel. And the boundary of Jesus' ministry was going to be to the nation of Israel primarily. And so the nation of Israel was expected to now carry the mandate of the gospel and send it out to the nations of the world. And I'm glad he did exactly that, because that's the reason why we, you and I today, are able to talk about the fact that we are believers. Why? Because Jesus stayed local in order to have a global effect. He stayed local. He understood the confine and the boundary of his earthly ministry in terms of where he will walk and dwell. And that was why he told his disciples in Matthew chapter number 10, "I didn't send you to the Gentiles. I didn't send you to the Samaritans. Just go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The time of the Gentiles will come." God does not do things in an haphazard manner. He has a plan and a program. This is the time for the Jews, and the Gentiles will have their turn. And the Gentiles did have their turn in Acts chapter number 10, talking about Cornelius. The Holy Spirit came upon Peter as he was ministering to them, and that was it. The floodgate of the gospel was open to the Gentiles. That was going to happen years down the track. At this point in time, Jesus was just ministering to the Jews. And so Jesus communicated that to the disciples. Whether they understood and agreed with him is a different ballgame entirely. But this woman, Jesus said, "Look, think about it." And Jesus was going to use a kind of a typology of some sort. "It is not good to give the children's bread and throw it to little dogs." Now, we find the word dogs of offensive, but what Jesus is talking about is not the dog that you're thinking about, especially when if you grew up where I grew up. When you talk about dogs, you're talking about street dogs that hit all kinds of things, okay? Jesus is using a different word in this Greek. There are two Greek words. There is a word for little dogs, and that's why I'm glad that the New King James Translation talks about little dogs. And then there is a word, another Greek word for street dogs. For instance, when he was talking in the book of Matthew, he talks about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, he says, do not give what is holy to the dogs. Do not give what is holy to the dogs. And don't throw or cast the pearls before the swine. He was talking about the street dogs. They're going to mess it up. Don't throw it. The word dogs, as is used in that context, is used about unbelievers. Don't give what is holy to people that do not appreciate the gospel message, the things of the Spirit. Don't give it to them, okay? But the word little dogs here is talking about what you call pets, you know, as dogs in the house. Some of us have pets as dogs. Dogs as pets. Not pets as dogs. Dogs as pets, okay? We have cats. We have goats, you know, gorilla. No, you don't have gorilla. But you know what I'm talking about. Maybe snakes and stuff. Anyway, you have pets in the house. And these little dogs are made to be kept in the house. And it was a common thing in Palestine in those days when they would keep the little dogs in the house. At that time, they didn't have what we call lap dogs like we have now. You know, some of us, our dogs actually have privileges that kids don't have. Our children don't even have it. They have their own bedroom, their own toilet, their own, you know, their own mirror. No, but what I'm trying to say is in their day and time, they had, little dogs. And they would leave these little dogs in the house. And these little dogs are going to be around the kids on the table as well. And so whenever anything drops from the table, they will take care of it and eat it. That was exactly the idea that Jesus was passing across. And this woman understood it. So it wasn't really insulting. It was a message of priority. Church, please say with me, priority. Now, priority in the sense that there is a way you and I know, and Jesus was speaking to the woman that understood the culture of the society in their different time. You and I know that there is priority when it comes to the distribution of food in the house, and that the kids are supposed to be fed first. You don't give what belongs to the kids and start feeding the little kids, the little pets or the dogs in the house. I know you will find that very difficult because some of us are actually animal activists and would rather allow kids to starve than our pets to starve. But the context of what happened in this place was a function of priority. He had already told his disciples, I was sent primarily to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But this woman was not going to understand that language, so he had to use something that this woman was going to understand, and that's, look, in a house, you have children, you have pets, and it's not good to feed the pets first. As a matter of fact, if you look at what it says in the book of Mark chapter number 7, I want you to quickly turn there, because Jesus wasn't talking about the fact that the little dogs were not going to be fed. He's just talking about the priority of the distribution of the meal or the food in the house. Look at what it says Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7. And look at verse number 27. The same statement written by Mark in this instance. He said, let the children be filled what? First. The word first means that's not going to be the final. Let the children be filled first. For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. In other words, yes, the little dogs are going to be fed. As a matter of fact, that's the reason why they are kept in the house. But the kids have to be fed first. You, woman, you know as well as I do that the culture in our today and time is to feed the kids first, and then we go to the leftovers are taken care of by the little dogs in the house. Okay? So it wasn't supposed to be an insult to the woman, even though it comes across that way, but it was supposed to be an explanation of the priority of the distribution of the gospel, the message of the gospel, and the blessings, the benefits of the gospel. So if Jesus were to be here today, this is what exactly Jesus will say. Jesus will say that, it is not good that the priority will still be on the children. The priority would still be on the children of God to be filled first. It will say something like this. Would Jesus have said the same statement? Yes, I believe so. He would have said something like, I pay particular attention to the needs of my children. So if Jesus were to be here today, he would have said, I pay particular attention to the needs of my children. And children here is by covenant. I'm going to talk about that in a short while. Such that I intend for them to be filled first with everything, with peace, with joy, with righteousness, with hope, with provisions. I intend for them to be taken care of first as a matter of priority. In other words, you and I, we are actually God's apple, the apple of God's eyes. Jesus was going to say to anyone that cared to listen, those people are peculiar because I take care of them first. Why? Because they are my children. And like I said, these children that Jesus was talking about was not by their deeds, it was by covenant. Now, the nation of Israel that Jesus said he was supposed to be feeding first as children, as he has alluded to in this instance, they were not a fantastic set of people. As a matter of fact, if you have time when you get back home, you read the preceding verses before the verses that we have just read in the book of Matthew, chapter number 15. He has just had an argument with the hypocrites, with the Pharisees, who were saying that the disciples were not washing their hands before they were eating their food. And Jesus said, no, it's not the washing of the hand that is more important. It's what's coming out of the people. And one of his disciples actually said in Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 12, Matthew chapter number 15, verse 12, then his disciples came and said to him, to Jesus, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? In other words, what Jesus said to the Pharisees were actually offensive to them. And that was just shortly before this incident happened. What I'm saying in essence is this. The fact that they were children did not mean that they were doing the will of God, or they were doing the things that God wanted, or Jesus was impressed with. They were children by the reason of covenant. They were children by the reason of covenant. So they had access to the bread that Jesus is talking about here, not by the reason of their doings, but by the reason of covenant. What do you mean by covenant? This covenant was cut many years ago, hundreds of years ago, with a man by the name Abraham. Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, we don't have all the time, you can read that at home, from verse 1 to verse number 8, talks about the covenant that he was going to place, he had with Abraham, such that the generations after Abraham were going to benefit from it. And that was the reason why when Jesus came, Jesus had to go to the generations that came from Abraham, physical Abraham. Does he have an application to us as spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham? Absolutely. But what Jesus is talking about here is talking about the generational component of the covenant that God had with Abraham. So what I'm saying in essence is this. These people that Jesus called children were called children not because of their good doings, but because of covenant. And that applies to you and I. Because we are children, not because of what we have done. It's because of covenant. The same covenant of life and of peace that came through Abraham came to us by the reason of the fact that we gave our life to Jesus. And that's why Jesus will make us a priority today. All right. So the question is this. I know what you're thinking. So you're saying, Pastor, that I'm a priority. I'm God. I'm a big deal in the eyes of Jesus. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that as far as Jesus is concerned, you're supposed to be filled first. And if Jesus were to be here today, he would say exactly the same. You know, Joe, are you okay? Because you're supposed to be filled first. You are the big deal. You are my priority. The peace, the righteousness, the comfort, the provisions are supposed to come to you first. Why? Not because you are a fantastic human being by the reason of what you do, but by the reason of the covenant. The same way the children of Israel were made a priority to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were asked to be given bread as a preference, you know, to those referred to as the little dogs. That's exactly the same way we are today. So if I call you the apple of God's eyes, there's no mistake about it. Now, I know what you're thinking. Right. If I was that important to Jesus, if I was that special to him, you're talking about being filled first. I wish I could say I'm being filled. I've been filled now, you know. But I beg to differ because I'm not filled, somebody would say. I don't have peace. I don't have joy. I don't have provisions. And here you are talking about the fact that I am a big deal to God. I am a priority. That's exactly the crux of the matter this morning, and that's the reason why I believe the Spirit of the living God is bringing this message across to us. Now, there is something missing about children who are at the table, who are supposed to be priority people at the table, and they are not getting filled. Some of you attest to the fact that it's not just that I'm seeking to be filled first. I'm just asking God, just fill me anytime. Whether you fill the dogs first or whatever, it's not important. Just fill me because I am dry, deficient of the things that I think I need to survive life. I'm struggling, somebody will say. So why is that so? If you said, okay, it is true that you are an apple of God's eyes and you're supposed to be sitting at the table, you're supposed to be the child of God, children of God, being fed with the bread. Why is it that things are not, I'm feeling deficient in the things that I consider to be relevant to me living a great life? The answer is not far-fetched. And the answer came from what happened to this woman. The Bible talks about this woman. It says this. It says in verse number 27, this woman said, and verse 27, I'm talking about Matthew now, verse 27. And she said, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So this woman said, okay, fine. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Children needs to be filled first. I get that. But what I know is that whatsoever comes down from the table, at least the little dogs that you describe, which are supposed to be pets in the house, will take care of that. And Jesus made a statement. Now, this statement actually is so important because it reveals the heart status of this woman. What is that? In verse 28, the Bible says, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. Did you see that? Jesus looked at that woman and said, you know, I have been watching you all the while. But what you just said just capped it all up. You have not just faith, you've got great faith. You've got great faith. And the Bible says, and her daughter was healed from that very hour, from that very point in time. Now, this is the issue. This woman admitted that she was the little dog that it was being referred to. And this is what I want you to get out of this. She said, I'm the little dog. But I know that I could still have access to the bread. Now, the access to the bread in this instance was supposed to be the healing of her daughter, which she got. If a little dog was able to have access to the bread, what is the problem with the children of God sitting at the table who are supposed to be a priority candidate, if you like, to have access to the bread? Why don't they have access to the bread? Now, the problem is not about access. The problem is about actually partaking of the bread. And if little dogs bring something, what did they bring? This woman brought faith to the table. So with faith, she was able to access the good things that comes from God, the blessings that come from God. In this instance, deliverance that can only come from God. The question is, why is it that you and I are not partaking of it, of this great blessing? You know the simple answer? We have not brought the same elements to the table. We have not brought the same faith to the table. It's as simple as that. Let me reverse it in a different way. You know, let me say it in a different way, from the least to the greatest. And this is how the rabbinical teachings usually go. They go from the least to the greatest. So I will say it this way. If little dogs are able to have access to the blessings of God by the use of simple faith, how much more do you think that we're going to have greater access to these blessings if we will come to the same table with the same element called faith? So the teaching here that Jesus was actually trying to pass across to anyone who cared to know is the importance of faith in God when it comes to having access to the bread. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. Great is your faith. This woman cried, begged, refused to be sent away because she had faith. And so today I'm going to be challenging you, people of God. Why don't you and I bring our faith to the table? Because we are supposed to be priority people in the hands of God. Maybe you don't know that God does not force feed people. Just get this picture in your head and in your heart as well. The table is set. The bread is there. Whatsoever thing that is of blessing, just a picture. We are all seated around the table and we are all looking. We are all looking at this bread. We are all looking at this great dish on the table. And we are expecting that God, who promised that he is going to be, he has made us a priority person, will begin to feed us. And God is waiting for us to make use of the utensil in our hands, which is faith, to start eating what is set upon the table. Let me make it a bit simpler, because each time you talk about faith, there is a bit of a religious halo around that. What's faith? Trust. Just trust God. So this morning, if you're someone who is actually having it hard to believe that you are a priority person because you think that you are not being filled with all these great things that we have talked about, peace, not there, deficient, joy, far away, righteousness, you're struggling, even physical provisions, both materially and financially, you're struggling. Ask yourself the question, how much of trust have I placed upon my maker? Because that may just be the singular key that is keeping you seated at the table but not having access to the bread of life. And Jesus is saying today, this morning, my son, my daughter, you are a priority person to me. I would rather give you the whole world than see you suffer. See, I've made the provisions for you. But the hard cry of my heart is you're not taking the utensils of faith or of trust in me to have access to it. So what am I saying this morning, people of God? I don't know what your situation is, but I'm asking you, will you please trust God? Will you just trust God? Will you just trust God? Will you just put your faith in God and say, Lord, I trust you. In this situation, I will trust you. And that's what I'm asking you to do this morning. I know the situation seems bad, chaotic, confusing, but I want you to trust God. I know there are no provisions anywhere around you, but I want you to trust God. I know your heart is aching and troubled, but I'm asking you to trust God, because if this little dog of a woman was able to have access to what she needed because she trusted, you will have much more if you will only trust God. So church, please, I want you to help me preach to your neighbor. Just turn to your neighbor, say, my neighbor. I want you to do that. My neighbor, trust God. So it's so hard to preach, you know. You can't even preach to one person. You know, but on a very serious note, people of God, I want you to put your trust in God. I just want you to trust God. And let's see what he will do with the table that is filled with all these good things. In conclusion, I'm always excited when I read the story of a people who have touched God in a way that have changed not just their lives, but even the lives of others. I'm not sure whether you have read about a man by the name George Mueller. George Mueller lived in the 19th century. He was a Christian evangelist, and he was the director of an orphanage. He has several thousands of people passed through this orphanage. Excuse me. At a particular point in time, he had 300 children that he was looking after. He had somebody like a house mother that was overseeing the looking after of these children. The house mother came this one particular morning and he said, "George, the kids have no food this morning. What are we going to do?" He asked, "Have they all been dressed up?" "Yeah." The woman said, "Yes." They were already in their school clothes, the school uniform. He said, "Walk them to the dining." Of course, the woman was, "Walk them to the dining, but there is no food." But she obeyed, and she took all the kids to the dining, 300 of them. Of course, the kids always eat in the dining, so they expected that there was going to be food. He said, "Put the plates before them." And of course, they did exactly that. The plates were just put in front of the kids. Within minutes, somebody knocked at the door. It was a baker. And he said, "Mr. Muller, throughout last night, I couldn't sleep. Somehow, I felt that you would need bread this morning. So I got up very early and I baked some bread. Would you like me to bring them in?" I said, "Of course, you should bring them in." This man brought in three batches of bread. They set it upon, as they were setting it upon the table for the children, another person knocked at the door. It was the milkman. Now, the carriage that the milkman was using had just broken down. Guess where it broke down? Right in the front of the house of George Muller, where this orphanage was. And the milkman said, "Look, I'm sorry, I will need to give you some milk this morning." Said, "Why?" "Because if I don't get this milk disposed, it's going to spoil before they will change the wheels for me. Would you like me to bring them in?" "Of course, you should bring them in." And they brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for those 300 children. Now, this was not a fabricated story. This was something that actually happened. I'm asking you, people of God, and what happened was because this man trusted God. He just knew that God would not allow 300 children to go starving on him. I'm challenging you, people of God. Your place in the heart of God is that of a child. You are a priority person in his house. He loves and he cares for you dangerously, if you know what I mean. And he's just asking you. The only reason why you have been starving, even though you are at the table, is simply because you've not placed your faith in God. You've not trusted God. And I'm asking you this morning, people of God, will you just trust God? Will you stop thinking things through and just place your trust in your Maker? Because he does not just care for you. He cares for you first. You're not a gate crusher. You are a child set at the table that your father has provided. It is your turn to get filled first, if only you will trust. Put your trust in him. Shall we pray?